The scripture for today is from Matthew 2, 13 through 23, and I'll be reading from Peterson. After the scholars were gone, God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and commanded, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay until further notice. Herod's on the hunt for this child and he wants to kill him." Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. The Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea had preached, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod, when he realized that the scholars had tricked him, flew into a rage. He commanded the murder of every little boy 2 years old and under who lived in Bethlehem and its surrounding hills. He determined his age by the information he had gotten from the scholars. That's when Jeremiah's sermon was fulfilled. A sound was heard in Ramah, weeping and much lament. Rachel weeping for her children. Rachel refusing all solace. Her children gone, dead and buried. Later, when Herod died, God's angels appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Up, take the child and his mother and return to Israel. All those out to murder the child have died." Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother, and re-entered Israel. And when he heard that the son of Herod had become the new king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. But then Joseph was directed in a dream to go into the hills of Galilee. On arrival, he settled in the village of Nazareth. This move was a fulfillment of the prophetic words, "He shall be called a Nazarene." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for helping us to enter into worship this morning and sharing the good news. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for how you continue to speak into our lives. We understand that as you speak and you create in us. What is created is something of grace. What is created is something based on your love for us through Christ. Keep us open to listening, hearing, following. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Before we carefully place the shepherds in their fields of styrofoam to guard for another year, before we take the poinsettias up to the attic to store for another year, before we take down the garland and carefully pack the chrismon ornaments up, there is something that we need to discuss. And something that I want you to remember for the rest of the year. Do you think you can do that? If I ask you to remember something for the next 365 days, do you think you can do that? I think you can, because you're a smart group. You're sharp. And you're good-looking Christians, no question about it, to boot. This is what I want you to remember. God loves you. Not just the choir, but God loves all of you also. Can you remember that every day? Okay. We waited, didn't we? We waited for that center candle to be lit. We waited until Christmas Eve, and whenever it's finally lit, what a neat, exciting, wondrous time that is. Not only for those who really have problems waiting, and those who get anxious for Christmas, and they start just, you can almost see them doing like this all the time in their lives. Have you ever dealt with one of those people that just kind of, they can't stay still? For those who are waiting like that for Christmas Eve and that candle is finally lit, what a time of celebration. And it seems a shame that all of a sudden, after one more Sunday, two more worship services today, we're going to go ahead and put it away. We cannot, however, put away the understanding that God has done something quite remarkable and quite astounding that has changed history. And if God has worked on a large, grand scale, God also has worked on the most intimate scale, the scale of our hearts. When that happens, when God speaks, God changes things. And so, not just because we lit that candle, but because God has inflamed our hearts with the light of Christ, we can remember that God loves us each and every day. Some have said, boy, wouldn't it be nice if that spirit of Christmas existed all year long? And it was Christmas every single day. Well, it's more than that every single day, because we have been redeemed, and we can remember that every single day. We have been saved, and we can remember that every single day. And God continues to work and guide us every single day. We are a people of great hope. We are a people of great promise. Even in challenging and difficult times. Might seem like somewhat of an odd scripture passage to have this morning. First Sunday in Christmas season. Part of the 12 days of Christmas. You don't have to give your pastor those gifts for each days, by the way. I don't want to have to keep track of all those animals and 12 drummers drumming. I'm a drummer, but that would get on your nerves after a while, wouldn't it? Really? We're in that season, though, and we continue in that season. And yet, while it seems like we should be lifting up a celebratory passage, this is a passage that seems to have somewhat dark overture to it, a dark overture and a dark theme to it as well. A family on the run. A tyrant. Somebody truly evil trying to hunt them down, murder them. And yet, even in the midst of that darkness, God is at work in surprising and sustaining ways. Notice how often I use the word sustaining to describe God and God's grace in sermons and in whenever I talk to you, even on one-on-one encounters. For us, to be sustained is to be able to get through those difficult times, to manage the challenges, because we understand that just because Christmas has happened, just because all the decorations are up, doesn't mean that bad things no longer take place. We simply need to look at the news. We simply need to read the paper or turn on one of the 24-hour news channels to understand that bad things still do take place. Evil is still present in the world. However, Christmas is one of those times that remind us that out of the darkness, out of that darkness, out of this present darkness, God will continue to work, no matter what. God never stops working, whether we're paying attention or not. For us, that is something that keeps that light shining, isn't it? That Christ candle inside of us, it keeps it lit throughout the year. It gives us hope. In this dark and desperate time, of all things, an angel appears and appears to Joseph and speaks to Joseph. Now, Joseph was a believing person, don't you think? I mean, with all that he was asked to do, I mean, certainly Mary was an extraordinary young girl, becoming a young woman, but an extraordinary young woman. But Joseph was pretty extraordinary himself, and was willing to follow and go along and be led by God. And an angel comes to Joseph and says, "You better get out of town. You better go ahead and pack up and get going." Have you ever had to pack up quickly and move? Okay. Have you ever packed up your RV and left something behind and thought, "Am I going to go ahead and take this caravan all the way back to Yuma and pick it up? No, I can get it next year. I'll be back." They had to leave things. They had to go. They had to move. They had to take off because an incredibly evil and demented individual had these illusions of grandeur and wanted to murder this family, wanted to, in essence, get rid of any sort of competition. There were individuals that had come from a whole other country and had been following another religion, if you will, and they had come and visited Herod and shared that we were seeking this Messiah. We were following this star, and there's this leader that we would like to pay homage to and worship. And Herod kind of goes along with it until they leave. And there was a sense of God working there even because in those individuals that came to visit Herod, whether you call them magi or wise men or astronomers, whatever you call them, there was this working of God in them also and in their lives to kind of not give Herod the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's ironic, isn't it, that individuals who were practicing a whole nother kind of religion from another country came, they were the ones looking for the Messiah, while the king, the person who should have been worshiping that king, that Messiah, was out to kill him. God works in so many different surprising ways. God's coming from all sorts of different directions. And if we're simply open to it, God is going to be filling us with His grace before we even know it. And that's what happened to the Holy Family, because then they moved and they left and they went to Egypt. Now, this was, if you look on the map, quite a journey. And it was traveling some very unforgiving terrain and difficult, challenging circumstances. And fearful, just wondering if they were ever going to be safe or ever going to be able to be safe and just rest. Living in constant tension. Living in constant fear. Ever have one of those times in your life when you had kind of a constant tension? When you were always just on edge about something? When you could never relax? When it felt like you could never really just take in God's goodness and love? You're always worried about something, one concern after another, maybe dealing with a big challenge in your life, and that was your focus, and that was taking all of your energy? Well, the Holy Family was going through this and experiencing this as well. And what's amazing is that God continued to guide and sustain and took them away from a great danger in their lives, took them out of a great darkness, even though they were still concerned and worried. God's hand was upon them. Now they had to feel as though they were lost. They had to wonder, you know, is God still at work? Does God know where we are? And the reality that we have is that we are never, ever off of God's map. We can never go completely away from God. We can never escape God. And even when we find ourselves in a place that we never expected, living in a town that we never expected to land in, challenged, maybe uncertain, not sure about what's going to happen next? Is God still at work? Absolutely. Does God ever stop being at work? Never. Anybody have a GPS here? Anybody have a GPS? Do you ever get annoyed by the voice that's guiding you on the GPS? Do you ever want to change that voice? You're pointing at him. Is his voice on the GPS? Okay. He's your GPS. Okay, got it. All right, thank you. Are you sitting next to your GPS? Let me go ahead and ask that right now. Sitting next, just pat them on the side if that's your GPS. A word that is used in Matthew many times is fulfill also. For God to fulfill his mission, his call. For a prophecy to be fulfilled. In other words, God, again, working behind the scenes, if you will. That's how we imagine it. God's in control of it all, but we kind of imagine ourselves as front and center, as the major players in life, and God's kind of back there somewhere, and actually God is the major force in life, and we're part of that, you know. I think that brings a lot more peace when we understand that. The Holy Family somehow was understanding that and open to that, so even as they were hearing that heavenly GPS that they were willing to listen to, it was over a period of time. It wasn't like they just went to Egypt and then stayed there for a couple of days and visited. It was a weekend trip, and then they came back. They were there for some time and waited upon God to go ahead and guide them once again, and an angel comes again and guides them and speaks to them and says, okay, it's okay to go back, and I'm going to go ahead and put you in a place that's safe. And it was this place called Nazareth. And I don't know if you realize this, but at that time, Nazareth was not seen as a particularly nice place to live. And yet they landed there because it was going to be in the hill country. And it was going to be kind of a backwater sort of place. And it could grow up there and it finally experienced some peace and finally be in a place where they were safe and could just kind of take some time to soak in God's goodness and love in their lives. Okay? Sometimes God places us in a particular area, even in a particular town, and we're not sure exactly why we're there. But if we're open to God, God will speak into our lives and eventually reveal to us why we are there. For the Holy Family, it had been quite a journey. It had been quite a journey out of darkness, in a dark time, and yet God's angels had spoken to them. They would eventually recall this journey and know that they had never been off of God's map. They would remember that God was never far from them if they were always open to God. And those are things that even as we start putting things away that remind us of Christmas, those are things that we can hold on to for our journey as well. Maybe you're coming out of a time of darkness. Maybe you're stressed about things that are going on in your life. Maybe you're concerned for loved ones. Maybe there's other kinds of baggage that you're carrying with you on this journey. The truth of the passage today is that God keeps his promises, and God's love is stronger than any other thing that we'll face. Can we reflect on that? Can we trust in God? Can we count on God? Can we truly rely on God? Can we trust on God even more in the days ahead, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're walking through? Can we do that, church? Okay. That's an answer that each of us has to answer. That's a question, I should say. But whenever we answer it with yes, even if it's kind of a weak yes, God's grace is there to meet us still. I'd like you to help me bring forward a couple of people, Neil and Sherry Knudsen, who are going to be joining the church this morning. They're trusting in God. Those who step forward to join the church do just that. They're fellow travelers like the rest of us. Could you imagine packing this whole group in an RV? That would be some sight. We're traveling with this whole group together. But we are traveling together, and that's the reality of it. And God is already at work in our lives in a very powerful way. So for both of you, traveling with us, those who are loved by God, brother and sister in Christ, do you trust in God and God's guidance in your journey? If so, please respond with, I do. Do you open yourself to that saving relationship that God has given you through Jesus Christ? If so, please respond with, I do. Do you also open yourselves to God's working of God's Holy Spirit in your lives in the most intimate way? And if so, please respond with, I do. And do you both agree to participate in the life of this church as we journey together as God's people, empowered by His love and grace? And if so, please respond with, I will. Neil and Sherry, we welcome you as members of Gila Mountain United Methodist Church, and we love you as brother and sister in Christ. Welcome. I invite you to join with me also in our call to discipleship. It's printed in our bulletins. We share these words together as fellow travelers. Join with me. Creator God, as I begin this day, open my eyes, my ears, all my senses to the beauty around me. Help me to see how mountains and trees rise up in praise of you. Help me to hear how the birds of the air, the whales in the deep, and the wild animals on the ground sing your praises. Help me to join another, or many others, in praise of your glory, not only today, but even forever. Amen.